Welcome to the Life Church Brisbane North podcast. Life Church exists to reach and empower people. No matter where you are listening from, we pray that this message is an encouragement to you.
We're finishing this series we've been looking at this month, The Adventure. And God has called all of us to walk not just an adventure like that we've initiated, but it's actually a kingdom adventure. That's the theme. If we want to expand it, our theme for this year, our whole year, is about the kingdom adventure, that Jesus is calling us to go on a kingdom adventure. So Matthew 4, 18 says this, "One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, 'Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.'" Or other translations say, I'll teach you how to become fishers of men. "And they left their nets, and at once they followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee." That's a great name, by the way. Zebedee. Okay, "repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. And they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness, every kind of disease. News about him spread as far as Syria, and the people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sicknesses or disease, if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all." He healed them all. The kingdom adventure. Let's pray before we get into this scripture today, this text today. Jesus, we thank you that you have invited us, imperfect people, to join you on a kingdom adventure. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and through our church. We pray you would speak to us today. God, we pray that as you speak to us today, we wouldn't remain the same, but we would become more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you're new to Life Church, we want to say a massive welcome. A massive welcome. I should have said that before. If you're here today for the first time, sit back, relax. Okay, we don't have any popcorn today. All right, but just put your feet up. Metaphorically, don't put your feet on someone in front of you. Ever had someone do that in the movies? It's like, are you serious? Anyway, but just put your feet up, relax. Just lean into what God wants to do, I believe, in your life. But it's great to have you here, part of the family. And after the service, you can have as many free coffees as you want. If you want to have 15 coffees after the service, you go for it. Just don't give any to my kids. Okay. But you know, Jesus has called us to live a kingdom adventure. He's called us to live a kingdom adventure. And we're thinking about this concept that Jesus invites us to come and to follow him. He invites us to come, just like he invited his disciples. The same thing, Jesus invites you and I to go and follow him. And we're all called to live a kingdom adventure. You know, you were designed, you were created to live in relationship with God. And as we're walking in relationship with Jesus, there's one guarantee that life is never going to be boring, okay? There's always going to be mundane things and things we have to do. And it's not about a selfish looking for thrill seeking. Like they're saying, you know, I showed a photo a few weeks ago. There's now traffic jams on the top of Mount Everest. You know, people are dying on Mount Everest because there's so many people trying to climb the mountain because everyone's after the latest, kind of just get a thrill in it. But it's all about self-gratification. But Jesus invites us to journey with, hey, Philip, great to see you out of hospital, man. Don't fight a crocodile. That's what happens, okay? No, it's good to see you, mate. Awesome. So, but Jesus invites us to walk this kingdom adventure. Right. And the reality is that we're all called to live an adventure with Jesus. You know, I think for most of us, we tend to gravitate towards safety. Well, we tend to gravitate towards safety because safety feels comfortable. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? We tend to like that. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a control freak. Okay. Okay, just ask my wife. Okay, so you know, I like the dishwasher to be stacked a certain way, right? And I thought I was I thought there was something wrong with me until this week someone actually preached on that. And I was like, okay, I'm good. All right. I'm not the only person in the world. All right. But there's a certain, you know, it's like, so I could, but the reality is the reason we try and control things and we want to make things comfortable because we want, or we want to make things safe because we want to make things comfortable. But Jesus has called us to live a kingdom adventure. I mean, the reason we go and watch movies like Lord of the Rings, okay, is because it there's something in us that says to us that we're actually called to live a life of adventure. You know, Lord of the Rings isn't a story about a group of guys who went to the movies and then went and had burgers afterwards. That wouldn't be a thrilling, like Jason, come in here, come and watch Jason Bourne. You know, the story of a guy who stayed home and had dinner by himself and then watched some Netflix. You know, it's like no one would watch that movie. You know what I mean? It's like the journey to the center of the earth. You know, we went to Woolworths. You know, it's like no one's watched, you know, I love The Revenant. It's a pretty brutal movie. But like, you know, imagine The Revenant. But if it was our version, it'd be a guy who went for a walk in the forest and returned home safely and had a hot chocolate. You know what I mean? It's like that's what we kind of want our life to be like, except we actually want the, there's something in us that draws us toward adventure, even though naturally we lean towards safety and comfort. And the real adventure is found in following Jesus. We're not just called to be fans of Jesus. We're not just called to come to church, a service like this on a Sunday and clap, clap, well done, Jesus. And, you know, be a fan. I love Jesus. And I've got a, you know, back in the day, people had Jesus bumper stickers, you know, and like, we're not just called to be a fan of, I wear a Jesus t-shirt. Okay. You know, I actually got a real estate agent friend. Well, he's a real estate agent. We were looking for properties for church and then he's a Christian and his wife makes Jesus Boy t-shirts. It's like Jesus Boy. And he brought me a Jesus Boy shirt to wear. And I was like, I don't know when I'm ever going to wear this shirt. And the funny thing is, it's like this really, it's not cool at all. All right. I hope he never hears this podcast, but it's not cool at all. It's not cool. It does not look Jesus. It does not look make Jesus look good. Is that what I'm saying? Anyway, and so get this Jesus Boy shirt and I think, thank you so much. Ever been really polite with a gift? Like, thank you so much. It's amazing. I'm going to treasure this for the rest of my life. I took it home. I thought, what am I going to do with this shirt? Anyway, so I threw it on the floor or something. And the next day I got up for the gym. It's super early. It's dark. And I grabbed my gym gear and I put on my shirt. And it wasn't until I got to the gym that I realized what I was wearing. So I quickly ran to the bathroom, pulled off the tag and turned it inside out. Come on. Anyway, because I'm like, this does not make Jesus look good. Anyway, okay. So I want to talk today about the adventure of following Jesus. You and I are all called to live a kingdom adventure. We're called to follow Jesus. And Jesus here, he calls his disciples, and there's a few things that happen. And the first thing I want to draw out from this passage today is that the adventure of following Jesus involves continual steps of faith. The adventure of following Jesus involves continual steps of faith. See, when we gave our life to Jesus, when we made him Lord, if you have prayed a prayer and you've connected with Jesus, and if you haven't today, I've got great news for you today, friends, that Jesus is not interested in your track record. He's not looking at your good and bad. He's not like Santa looking at the naughty and nice list. He's not interested in how well you have behaved. He's not looking, he cares about you. He cares about your past. He cares about what's happened to you. He cares about your future. He cares for you, but he's not going to, he doesn't love you according to your performance, according to what you've done right or what you've done wrong. Jesus loves you according to his heart for you, according to God's heart for you. And so, but when we give our life to Jesus, we trust him. That is a step of faith. That's not a step of our own works, right? That's the thing that makes Christianity different from any other religion on earth, is that every religion is about working your way to God. But with Christianity, when it comes to Jesus, it's all about a God who made his way to us, who made his way to you. Is a fundamental, right in the from the outset, there's a fundamental complete difference. You cannot compare the Christian faith, belief in Christ, faith in Christ to any other kind of belief system on earth, because Jesus is radically different to any other God. He's completely different. When it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus, he made his way to you. And the reason that's important is because this, what we started in faith, God calls us to continue in faith. Jesus isn't, once you give your life to Jesus, once we give our lives to Jesus, he's not then expecting us to figure everything else out on our own, but he actually calls us to take continual steps of faith. When our kids were learning to walk, right? And we've got one more to go now. Okay, she's here, she's asleep. Okay, so when our kids are learning to walk, you know, if you've had kids or you've watched kids learning to walk before, you'll notice you never see a child learning to walk and they get to their feet and they just take one step. You've never seen a parent, they take one step and fall over. You've never seen a parent say, not good enough, get back up. I want to see 10 steps or you'll never walk, you know? And so you never see a parent. What happens when your child takes one first step? Is, you know, you try and film it, you celebrate. It's like everyone's going crazy. They're celebrating and everyone's cheering and clapping. And the, you know, the kid, you know, thinks they're unbelievable because they, you know, they don't even know what they've done, to be honest. And, you know, we as parents, we celebrate the step. We celebrate the step. And God, you need to know that the God of the universe, your heavenly Father, he celebrates your steps. Your step, your next step of faith in following Jesus. Jesus doesn't give us, ever notice, Jesus doesn't give us the whole plan. He just calls us to follow him with one more step, with one more step. You know, and the reality is that, to be honest, this is actually can be a really, we wire our life towards comfort and towards safety. But when it comes to walking, in faith, sometimes a faith step, in fact, often a faith step is actually scary. And I think we maybe somehow think that following Jesus shouldn't involve any fear, right? Well, fear doesn't come from God, but what happens is when we follow Jesus, when we take a faith step, it at times can be scary. And at times can, now the promise of the Bible, the promise of Jesus is that Jesus has given us a spirit that can, that we can then overcome the fear that we face. But, you know, the reason God gives us things that are sometimes hard for us to do is because it's in our best interest. You know, Jesus loves us by leading us. He doesn't want us to just go out and do whatever. I love my kids by leading them. You know, when I give them, when they're learning to eat, you know, and then eventually I say, this is a spoon, you're going to hold it now, you're going to feed yourself, right? Here's a toilet, you're going to use it now for yourself, okay? Who knows, that's a scary experience. But we do that not to punish them, but because we love them. And God will call you sometimes into your next step of being, maybe it's being more vulnerable. Maybe it's opening up with your life group leader or someone that you can trust and sharing something about your life that's incredibly scary, but it's the next step that Jesus is calling you to take. And even though it's scary, he's not doing it to punish you. He's not doing it to harm you. He's doing it for your good. He's doing it for your healing. He's doing it for your strength. When I give my kids the spoon and I say, it's your time to learn to eat on your own, I'm not doing it to harm them. I'm doing it to help them. I'm doing it so that they can continue to grow. In fact, I would be an irresponsible parent if I just sat there and kept, imagine 15-year-old, here comes the aeroplane, okay? That's not cool, okay? So I would be an irresponsible parent if I dumbed things down for my kids as they grew in their capacity to take more responsibility. And it's the same with the life of faith. You know, Jesus calls us to take a step, not 50 steps. He just calls us to take a step. Hey, come and follow me. I'm going to make you into something else. I'm going to transform your life, but it begins with a step. Come and follow me. Second, and actually I want to speak into this for a moment. In Romans 8, I love this promise. It says, for if you live according, Romans 8 verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This scripture is, Paul is saying this. This is what Paul's saying. Guys, we can't do this in our own strength. If we're trying to follow Jesus, we're trying to take steps of faith in our own strength. It's never going to work. Some of us today, I believe, are sensing, or you've been sensing in this season, a stretch. Like, I need to take a step of faith. I need to trust God in this area of my life, and it's scary. And maybe you've been thinking, I'm not sure that I should because it's scary. I believe God's word for you today is that as you take that step of faith by His Spirit, as you trust Him, He is going to strengthen you. Come on, He is going to give you the power to take that step of faith. It's not going to be in your own strength. It's going to be in His strength. It's going to be by His Spirit. Second thought is this, that the adventure of following Jesus involves leaving some things behind. The adventure of following Jesus does involve leaving some things behind. Verse 22, it says, they immediately followed Him, leaving the boat and their father behind. That there are sometimes things, even good things, that God calls us to leave behind if we're going to continue to follow Jesus and make Him Lord of our life. That really, there will be some things, and I don't want to use this story to embarrass Emily, but I'm going to use it anyway. So I love you. But we were traveling, some of you know this story anyway, but we're traveling to Sydney, getting ready. We're going to the airport. We go through the little baggage check where they scan to see if you're a terrorist. And Emily's bag, cam bag, sets all the alarms off, right? You know, I'm thinking what she got in there, pepper spray, a knife, you know, a gun. You know, I didn't know you had a permit for that. Anyway, you know, they pull it out and they say, excuse me, ma'am, is this your minced beef? And in her bag, she had a container of minced beef, right? And so she's like, yeah, that's my minced beef. And I'm like, why do you have minced beef in your handbag? You know, and she's like, oh, well, you know, I didn't want it to go to waste. Like ultimate, like, you know, she's just the ultimate, like wanting to make sure nothing gets wasted, which is a great quality to have. And she's like, it was going to go to waste if I left it in Brisbane. So I thought I'll bring it with me to Sydney and we'll cook it up when we get there. It's like the first thing we ask for, excuse me, can you take me to the nearest fry pan, please? You know, anyway, so they're like, okay, ma'am, if you want to go to Sydney, you're going to have to leave the minced beef with us. And for us, about 3 seconds, you could see Emily's. No, anyway, just kidding. But there are things that sometimes we carry that maybe we're not even aware. I mean, thank God she was aware she was carrying the minced beef. That'd be even worse. Like get 3 weeks in. What is that smell? You know? But there are things sometimes that we carry and we go through seasons in our life. And sometimes, just like being in the airport security, things are going wrong. Things are going wrong in our life. Alarms are actually going off. Some of the trouble we face isn't the devil, just in case you didn't realize. I've learned this the hard way. Some of the trouble we face in life isn't the devil, it was me. It was my bad decisions. It was the things that I'm carrying. It was the bad attitude. It was pain and resentment from my past or things that I was holding on to, sometimes not even realizing what I was carrying. And sometimes the challenges that I'm facing or the way I'm feeling is actually a result of something that I'm carrying in my own heart. And Jesus says, if you're going to continue to walk this life of faith and follow me, there will be some things that you need and I need to leave behind. Look at what Isaiah says, talking to God's people about where God is taking them into the promised land. He says, remember not the former things. This is God speaking to you and I today, His people. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And then He says, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says, I will. If you will forget, if you will let go, if you will surrender. And I know for some of us today, I know this has been Emily's journey. Sometimes things happen to you that are so significant that it's not as easy as just saying, I forget that. I forget things all the time. But there are some things I don't forget. Like as in, I don't forget I have kids. You know what I mean? Or like, I would pretty much forget everything else actually. But there are some things that this is not saying, forget it. Just forget about it. Okay, it's not saying that. It's saying, that there's things that are holding onto your heart and you need to let those things go in order for you to step into what's new. And God says, if you will be committed to taking that step, then He will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I don't want to embarrass anyone, but Amanda, for probably 3 or 4 weeks, I just feel like this is a scripture, a word over your life. And this week I was like, I'm going to write this down here. And I didn't know if you were going to be here today. I just believe the old is gone, the new has come. It's a whole new season. It's a whole new thing. It's like God, this is God's promise for you. I see streams. I see streams in the desert. I see something greater that is happening inside of you that is greater than what's happening around you. I believe over your life that there are going to be streams of living water coming from within you. That there's been seasons and times where we all have to go and we have to receive and we have to, but there's coming a season where what's in you is going to be so great. It's going to be the greatness of God. It's going to be the presence of God. That what is so great that is on you, others are going to come to you. Others are going to be refreshed by you. Others are going to be revived by you, by what God is doing in your life. And I just want to declare it and prophesy it over your life. That your greatest days, your best things are still ahead. That God's heart is for you. I just see like waterfalls falling over your life right now. I see like an open heaven over your life. The presence of God, is just going to be a sweetness, and there already is, but there's going to be an increase in the presence of God in every single area of your life. And I just see wisdom. There is going to be incredible wisdom on your life. You're going to speak out of a depth of wisdom. A depth. This is going to be an incredible depth. And it's going to be a sweetness. People are going to be revived and restored. They're going to be amazed. And there's going to be something so significant that comes from within you as you just continue to. I know you already are, but continue to allow what He has begun in you. And so we just thank You for it today. We just thank Jesus for it today. Lord, we just thank You right now. Jesus, for Your presence. God, that breaks any limitation, that breaks off any fear or any doubt. And it's like Jesus Himself is saying, come, follow Me into the next season of the unknown. And every single step you take, if you will take the step, He will make a way. If you will take the step, He will make a stream. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, the adventure of following Jesus, it involves obedience over outcomes. The adventure of following Jesus involves obedience over outcomes. I know this isn't like this, you know, this message today, like following Jesus, like this is sometimes a difficult message for us to hear. Because I think often we like to think that Jesus is following us. There used to be a song when I went to primary school, we used to sing in Christian, in chapel. You love me as you found me, your love keeps following me. Anyone know that song? Anyway, we used to sing Your Dog Keeps Following Me because we thought we were so funny being in year two or whatever. But anyway, there's a song like, you know, your love keeps following me. And that's what David said. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. It is God's promise. That Jesus, in a sense, He is always pursuing you. He's following you. But do you know, once you get tagged in Tiggy, you stop running and you then start chasing. And when God's love, when Jesus comes into your life and you surrender your life to Him, our posture then begins to change. You know, the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we didn't realize what was going on. We didn't even realize there was a problem. God had already worked out a solution. I mean, Jesus was already proactive. That's leadership. It's proactive. Jesus wasn't waiting for us to figure out there was something wrong because we never would. So Jesus, as the greatest leader of all time, decided, we're going to solve this problem. Man's greatest problem is separation from God. It's a lack of identity. It's not realizing who we are really created to be. And but as soon as we receive His love, our posture, even though Jesus is still chasing you, He's still pursuing you, our posture changes. We don't just go from just doing whatever we want and hopefully God's just following up and cleaning up all the mess, right? That's me with my kids, okay? But at some point, you know, I've just been away and Israel came to me and he said, Dad, do you know what? Next time you go away again, He said, when you go away again next time, I'm going to be the man of the house again. You know, and I said, oh, that's awesome. What does the man of the house do? Well, the man of the house, he said, make sure that everybody is having a lot of screen time. I said, I'm not sure that that is what the man of the house actually does. You know, I said, you know, and then Emily jumped in. The man of the house does the mowing and takes out the bins, and he could see he's like growing a little bit disinterested by this point, you know. He tried again later going to bed, you know, putting him to bed. I'm going to be the man of the house and, you know, we'll watch Avengers. And I was like, no, that's not what the man of the house does. That might be one thing that the man of the house does, but it's not what the man of the house does. That's not the role, right? It's like, and when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, I felt in God to share this because I believe that God is not just interested in our preservation. He's not just interested in preserving you and keeping you the way you are. God is actually interested in your transformation. God is interested in you growing and you changing. You know, in the kingdom of God, if we're not moving forward, if we're stationary, we're actually going backwards. There is no stationary in the kingdom of God. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. Jesus, his heart is so towards you that he wants you to keep moving forward into all that he has for you. And do you know, at times though, at times we have to, what seems like, take a step aside or a step back to keep moving forward. Because it's not always about the steps that make sense to us. It's about, the Bible says that the Lord will order our steps. That Jesus is the one ordering our steps. And sometimes our steps don't make sense. They don't feel like a step forward. They sometimes feel like a step back. What I'm saying is that Jesus calls us to steps of obedience, not just outcomes. Because we look at, if I do this, then this will happen. And if I do this, then this will happen. But who knows? That is not how the kingdom of God works. It's an upside down kingdom. Jesus said we have to turn the other cheek. Forgive those who've hurt you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Everything Jesus said didn't make sense. And almost everything Jesus said was impossible to do without the Holy Spirit. But I just want to encourage you today. You know, I was going to share a story today about how years ago, Emily and I, years and years ago, we felt to give away this car we just bought. And we did. And I was like, expecting the new car to arrive on the driveway, because that's what we're taught, right? If you give, God's going to give back to you, right? And so we gave this car away, and it was out of obedience to the Holy Spirit. It was something we both felt different points. I was washing the car. God said, this is not your car. And I said, and you're the devil, you know? And I'm washing the car, and God said, it's not your car. And eventually, you know, when the Holy Spirit's just speaking to you about something, you can live like this in relationship with God. And I said, okay, God, finally, after day three, maybe, driving the car, whose car is it? And straight away, he gave me a picture of a couple. Straight away, immediately. I was like, okay, God, let's see if this is... So I rang Emily and I said, right then, I said, if we were going to give our new car away, who would we give it to? I'm just, you know, just hypothetically, if we're going to give our new car away, who would we give to? Immediately, the exact same couple. And I think she said, oh, I knew you were going to call about this or something. But anyway, and we hadn't spoken. So we gave it away. And, you know, naturally, or I think often we're taught that if we take a step of obedience, the result is always going to be an outcome that we can see immediately. But sometimes the obedience wasn't about blessing. It was about trust. Sometimes this step of obedience, I can think about times where, you know, I've said something about someone. I remember a number of years ago, I just was in a conversation I felt wasn't honoring towards somebody. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you need to go to that person and you need to tell them what you've said and ask for their forgiveness. And there's all kinds of different, I'm sure for all of us, we have stories like times like that where we've felt the Holy Spirit speak. And it's not about an outcome. It's not about getting some sort of thing back, or it's about being obedient to Jesus. It's about living in obedience to the Holy Spirit and trusting, this step doesn't make any sense, God, but I'm going to trust you. This step doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to trust you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Life Church is one church in multiple locations. To find out more about Life Church and our online and location-based services, visit us at www.lifechurch.com.au.